all must be a bunch of dope-ass ninjas. We watch Big Money Rustlers, and we're going to cut that shit up with you right now on
B-Movie Rustlers!
Dope-ass shit.
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
It's me here, Dark-Ass Nugs, right here, ready to talk to you all.
What?
That's right, you heard me right. I'm Dark-Ass Nugs. And who do we got with me this week? Well, how you doing there, Demon to Semen? Whoop whoop.
How are we supposed to know who that is?
Demon to Semen, what are you talking about? How you doing, boy? Whoop whoop. Demon to Semen, whoop whoop.
pretty good.
That's good. Good to hear. That's good.
Get away from my butt.
That's straight ass ninja shit right there.
Oh, God.
We also got Nonviolent Jay in the house. Whoop whoop.
Oh yeah.
Whoop whoop. Oh, and Schoolyard Killer. Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop.
Oh God, guys. So that means
Demon to Semen's whoop whooping out of order.
Demon to Semen.
Hey, Nonviolent Jay.
Yeah.
Get away from my butt.
Is that your favorite part of the movie, Paul?
Of course, yeah.
Well, Demon to Semen, speaking of your butt, let me tell you something about this movie. Deep in the Old West, a deranged gambler, Big Baby Chips, is taking control of the small desert town of Mudbug with his violent antics. Big Baby isn't a lone ranger in his evil endeavors as he is enlisted with the help of two goofy yes-men, Dusty Poot and Ross Stank, along with his menacing henchman, Hack Benjamin. His long reign of terror may soon end when a forgotten hero named Sugar Wolf rides in to redeem his family name at Mudbug's new sheriff and bring peace to the frightened townspeople. In his quest for justice, Sheriff Sugar Wolf finds faith in local gunmen Dirty Sanchez and wacky night watchman Bucky.
Whoop whoop. Whoop whoop.
I just have to say that I put this movie on and I shit you not, for like the first 10 minutes, I could not stop giggling at just the fact that I was watching the movie.
I think all had the same thing. We actually got to watch this together. You know, me, Dark Ass Nugs, Schoolyard Killer, Nonviolent Jay, all watched this together.
Whoop whoop.
I think we all had the same reaction, Demon to Semen.
You know, that said, I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's weird. It wasn't nearly as bad as I expected.
Yeah, I expected to go in here and just hating this, everything about this movie. And, I hate that I didn't hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they did a lot of stuff right, I think, in my opinion.
I think a large reason why it worked is because they just owned it. They knew how silly it was and how stupid it was going to be. Oh, they obviously were having fun with it. And I think that really is what made it work.
Yeah, and I think, like, it's pretty much, like, a lot of the jokes are played straight, which adds to the humor. You know, and I think we talked about this last night. It was kind of interesting that the ICP guys were opposite sides. Each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. They actually didn't, I paid attention to this today when I rewatched it. I mean, they really don't come face to face until right before the end.
Yeah, I kind of picked up on that, too. I was surprised by that.
Okay, so the movie starts out with Big Baby Chips, who's played by Violent J, who's the bigger of the ICP guys.
He's a big boy.
He is a big boy. He's a big baby boy.
He's the one who's frequently mistaken for, like, Guy Fieri and singer of Smash Mouth.
Oh, man. So Big Baby Chips is a gambler, tycoon-type guy, and he's just, I don't know, he's just exploiting the town and its people to make money.
Motherfucking money!
People don't seem to have that big of a problem with him. I mean, like, he's shooting people and stuff, but a lot of people are just like, fuck it, let's go with this guy. Like, town's full of, like, ne'er-do-wells anyway. It's all prostitutes and, like, gunmen anyway. So it doesn't seem like...
You definitely don't want to play poker with the guy.
No.
But there's a lot of shady people in Mudbug.
So did anybody have a chance to do any research on what Mudbug means? I mean, does it have any ties to... Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah,
or
you know, I was
like,
wondering about that because I bet you there's a bunch of like inside ICP references that we probably didn't get.
Yeah, like there's some obvious ones throughout. Like the saloon is called the Hatchet Man Saloon. Sugar Wolf's wearing a little Hatchet Man thing, and there's a handful of stuff.
There's the big carriage at the end.
Faygo whiskey.
Yeah.
I got some Faygo whiskey right now.
Yeah, I got some Faygo and whiskey.
Jay, you drinking Faygo?
Of course.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm just drinking a fine port, my fellows.
What the hell? I mean, okay, so Mike, I apologize if this sidetracks us, but Jay texted me Saturday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and he goes, "Are you aware of what Mike is doing right now?" And I said, "No." And he goes, he's in an Uber right now, like going around town trying to find Faygo.
Yeah. It was much of a larger trip than I planned on it, because I thought I was going to walk down the street and just go to the Dollar General, which I had gotten pro tip advice. Dollar Generals carried Faygo. So mm-hmm. I walked down the street, and it had just dropped down to like 32 degrees, like the first kind of proper cold day. And so I was freezing my ass off walking down to this place, get in there, and they don't have fucking Faygo. And so I had to literally go back onto my Facebook chat I had with some people and look at what other actual specific locations they had said they had bought Faygo at. And then went and like, I was like, I'm not going to fucking walk to these places or take the bus. So I just got an Uber and I paid like $10 to get shuttled over to a dollar store to buy Faygo. Yeah.
But so were you guys drinking Faygo while you were watching the movie yesterday?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Oh yeah.
We're mixing it.
The whole time.
Nice.
Motherfucking money.
I got to ask you though, you were able to just buy a reasonably sized 16-ounce bottle so each of us could sample the different flavors.
No,
right?
I had to buy 2.5 liter bottles.
not 2 liters.
Yeah, not 2 or 3.
2.5 liters.
2.5. Just bulbous and
gallons
annoying.
Of Faygo.
I think that's the perfect size to have a Faygo shower.
That's how you get your face paint on. You just dump it on your face, and then like it shows up on you like some sort of Rorschach test, and then you paint in the lines, and that's your makeup.
So what flavors did you guys have yesterday?
We did cola. I got a straight cola and an orange and a fruit punch. And I think what the cola and the orange were fine enough, right?
They're fine. Yeah. I'm drinking the cola right now.
Yeah, drink it with some rum. It's pretty decent.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just an off-brand deal. But the fruit punch surprisingly tastes like cough syrup. Like, like it's disgusting. Like, absolutely.
It's very
vile.
Much like cough syrup.
Oh no, but Jay, you told me I believe that your wife tried it and she likes it.
Yeah, she actually likes the red stuff. I'm not going to pour it down the drain.
Wow. Well, I guess you saved a juggalo's life.
Whoop, whoop.
So,
true. Whoop, whoop.
Do I understand this correctly that in order to get some of the more exotic flavors, you got to be like closer to Michigan, I guess?
Probably, or at least like maybe go to a 7-Eleven or something.
Drinking rules.
We had a couple good ones, I think, while we were watching. Yeah. Jay, do you want to expound upon? Sorry, I'm non-violent, Jay.
Thank you. I didn't want to be confused with Violent Jay because he's not here.
No.
Obviously, anytime there's Faygo referenced, which is a few times throughout the movie, probably the biggest drink rule where you might die about an hour into it is every time Sugar Wolf slaps somebody with his pimp hand.
You're in the hospital, basically.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay because like the first half of the movie, it's like, okay, slapping. That's not a bad, I've got a pleasant buzz going. It's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And then what is it? Halfway through the movie, you're just, okay, chug, pause the movie, make another drink, chug that one, pause again, and make another drink and chug it.
You have to give up making drinks. You just have to open that 2.5 liter bottle of Faygo and just pour it down your throat at some point.
Yeah.
But it's perfect because that's one of those perfect rules where it seems cute and quaint. You're like, you tell a friend that rule and they're like, oh, ha ha ha. Okay. Every time you get someone slaps someone and then
someone slaps someone, just Sugar Wolf.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. Character. But like, you're like, oh, ha ha, that's fun. And then there's the death scene where you probably have to do like 50 drinks.
Yeah. It's crazy. We've got one. I think I noticed one. I don't know if we talked about this last night, but anytime somebody howls, I would drink that.
Yeah.
Did we? Okay. Because, there's a lot of howling in the movie for the Sugar Wolf clan, whatever you want to call them. So they howl a lot. So that'd be a good one.
I'd say you have to drink the whole time the howl is happening. Like, just as long as they howl, you have to be drinking.
My favorite howl of the film was when the ICP guys finally meet face to face, and Violent J just gives the ow.
God.
Drink anytime there's a Hatchet Man reference.
I think not even just Hatchet Man, right? Any ICP reference.
Yeah,
any
ICP reference really kind of would work out, yeah.
But only the first time you see it, because otherwise you're drinking every time Sugar Wolf is on screen.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't want to,
I think we could add one. I don't know if we talked about this last night, since we were kind of talking and laughing over a lot of the movie, but anytime Jason Mewes says, oh crap, I mean, he says it a ton, and it's always like, oh, crap, or crap.
It's essentially his catchphrase.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Which really makes a lot of sense because ICP has a very close association to professional wrestling, as if you've watched the movie, you obviously get that. And so it's not surprising that they have goofy little things in the movie like that, like catchphrases.
Scott Hall.
Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, no, Scott Hall. Yeah, Scott Hall's the population counter guy.
The Greek Chorus.
It was my favorite character, yeah.
Me too, Chris. Me too. Yeah, or, excuse me, Schoolyard Killer. Me too.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, now getting back to Jason Mewes, though, did his character serve any purpose at all?
I was really surprised how underutilized he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just peed his pants like four times and...
And got shot at, several dozen.
Said, oh, crap.
His death scene had one of those... points in the movie where he breaks the fourth wall, because they do that a couple times, and he's just like, I read the script and this cowboy don't get shot, and then he gets shot like a million times, and then that's the end of Jason Mewes.
Not Violent J or Non-Violent J, but J of Jay and Silent Bob fame.
Yeah,
right.
There's so many J's.
Okay, so this town has their weird classic cartoonish guy at the front who just counts everyone leaving and going and somehow knows every time someone dies.
Wrestler Scott Hall.
Yeah. What was his wrestling name? Was he just called Scott Hall?
Razor Ramon, right? Well, Razor Ramon first.
Hey, yo.
Bad guy here.
He even made a reference to his catchphrase.
Yeah, but he was also the narrator of sorts. Like, it would cut to him, and he'd take people out, or take them off the number count, and then he'd talk over it and give, like, a general, like, I don't know, segue narration between the two different scenes going on. And
I really appreciated his character, and I have to say I'm pretty jealous of his job, because all he did all day was just drink out of that jug and change the number anytime somebody got shot.
Basically, we meet Big Baby Chips. He's an asshole. He shoots people playing poker with him, all that kind of stuff. He's running the town, and then this long lost guy named Sugar Wolf shows up into town from after banging some random woman he met on the road that some family's just like, yeah, take our mom. And then they went and had sex, and then that was the end of it. But he shows up into town he's coming back to town because he used to live there. His family's from this town. And so he comes in and he's looking for his mom, whose name around town is Handjob Hannah. And she lives at 69 Prickly Pecker Lane in what looks to be an outhouse. Like, we all really liked this scene, Demon to Semen. I don't know how you've liked this situation where Sugar Wolf walks up to the outhouse, is confused, but it has 69 Prickly Pecker Lane on it, so he knows that's where his mom, Handjob Hannah, lives.
69 Prickly Pecker Lane, what the fuck?
He goes in, and it's like, it's a Doctor Who TARDIS type thing where it's just an outhouse on the outside, but the inside is this extravagant, big, like, old style house inside. And his mom's in full makeup and is a prostitute.
Well, I actually heard that Handjob Hannah is making an appearance in the next season of Doctor Who.
Oh, is she?
That is not what I thought you were going to say.
Much less filthy than I thought it was going to be. She makes...
At that point in the movie, though, with the inside being, bigger than the outside, similar to the TARDIS, already, I mean, what was that, 10, 15 minutes in? And I'm like, okay, I'm going with whatever happens in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was the first real big laugh where I was kind of like, eh, maybe this is all right. And that was an okay joke.
Yeah. She makes this joke. Oh, so Sugar Wolf is confused about his mom being a prostitute, which was, you know, if I'm going to give any sort of question on it, like, they didn't sell that much. I mean, it was kind of dumb that he didn't know. But she makes this comment when he walks in. She's like, you coming here for a tug job? You coming here to pound this ass or tap this ass? And she's like, she makes the joke of if you're coming for that, you got to tie a board around your ass if you want to tap this.
And what? I missed that.
Oh, yeah. You have to tie a board around your ass if you want to tap this. And later in the movie, we see guys lined up for her that have boards, like these long boards on their ass. I didn't quite get what that meant until the second watching.
Here's my theory. So those boards are wider than the door frame. So when they walk up to the door frame, they can't actually get in and Hannah, what was her name? Hand job Hannah. You know, they can't get in. They're stuck there at the door frame. And now you'd think, hey, maybe they just turn sideways and get in. No, I'm assuming everyone in an Insane Clown Posse movie will have an enormous boner. They can't get in sideways either.
That's a good theory. But I'm pretty sure it is supposed to imply that she is so spread. Can I say that? Or loose?
No,
or
that's the loose? One word you can't say, Mike. Spread.
Like
loose.
She is. If you have sex with her, you will fall inside of her. You need a board to catch you.
You know, that's a much better theory.
I'm almost positive that has to be what that means. It's so, like, obscure and crude, but also, I don't know, it's so weird.
It's a little confusing.
Any more ass board theories out there?
Maybe we should ask our listeners for ass board theories.
Yeah.
Tweet us with your ass board theories.
Hashtag ass board.
Oh, God. So Handjob Hannah's telling Sugar Wolf about, like, why she sent him away from town to keep him safe from the bad man. Who is, you know, Big Baby Chips, and tells him about how Big Baby Chips killed his dad, played by Ron Jeremy, and how Big Baby Chips killed his two brothers, one of which is a gay gentleman. And I thought it was really cool how, I think it was cool how the whole flashback scene is all sepia toned, but that character is very bright in color at the same time. Like, it's a very big contrast. And he's not, like, too flamboyant or, like, too... He doesn't seem like too much of a cartoon character. He is a bit. But, I don't know. I thought that was kind of funny. but we learned that Big Baby Chips is dangerous. When he pulls, when he draws to shoot, you don't even see his hands move. That's something they show us. And it's a pretty good bit.
It's funny how they portray that.
Yeah. But yeah, so that really sets the tone, and then basically the rest of the movie is Big Baby Chips sending assassins over to try to kill Sugar Wolf, and that's the movie. Then they meet up eventually, and that happens.
I really liked the way that they structured that too, with the assassins, and they get progressively, you know, more dangerous, sort of boss level fights and stuff.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It kind of reminded me of one of the things I liked about Hobo with a Shotgun, which, you know, as Schoolyard Killer well knows, I liked the plague. And I liked how just goofy and ridiculous and sort of cartoony the plague was. And in this movie, it's sort of the same thing. Like, the assassins are these just completely off-the-wall killers. And I thought that was really funny and made a... It had made a good impact in the movie.
Well, you know, you've got the ghost who, you know, like you would expect, shoots lasers out of its eyes.
and blows up hay bales.
Yeah.
Like a ghost, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And then the foot.
I'm the foot bitch!
The foot was awesome.
The foot was pretty great.
With a cartoonishly large foot riding out in a steam-driven wheelchair.
A really stinky foot, too.
I ain't afraid of no damn foot.
I like that, how everyone smelled him coming.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what is that? Like, the whole town
really
is passing
out.
They
really built that up. They built that up really well. And then the third assassin, I don't remember the name of the third assassin, but it was a pretty good payoff. Tank.
Yeah. It was because the woman's name was Tink.
All right.
And then she became Tank.
Yeah. So at some point, Sugar Wolf has a love interest, which is a little person named Tink, who's played by, what's her name? She's a famous adult film actress.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Was she really?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I know we wondered about that.
Yeah, no, she is. Her name is, real quick, Bridget Powers is her name.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so she's in it, and they have some sex. In fact, including a makeout scene where Sugar Wolf's makeup just smears all over her face.
I also love when they set up the lines to be full of innuendo. Like, no, he's going to eat her pie, and then he's going to give her, words. No euphemism. It was just straight up, just, I'm going to bang your ass.
Think she says, she brings him a cherry pie, and she's like, I've got this delicious.
She brings him a fresh, tasty, warm cherry pie.
And then what does he say, Jay?
That sure is a fine looking pie. Maybe sometime if you ain't busy, we can get together and I can plow that little ass of yours.
I have to say, though, actually, that for as many, many goofy things that were going on in this movie and, very crude humor and some offensive things probably to some people, but I have to say that I really appreciated those two, their relationship, because they could have gone low with making, little people jokes, and they didn't at all.
Yeah,
there was none of that.
Yeah, exactly.
I was expecting that too, and it didn't happen.
Yeah. So props to them for taking the high road and not degrading anybody.
I'd say this whole movie kind of subverts expectations like that.
But there is plenty of offensive material for those who like to watch things and be offended. Plenty of offensive material for you.
Yeah. Oh, hey, there's a B storyline that happens throughout this whole thing. So when Sugar Wolf comes into town, there's already a sheriff, and he's got the worst, stupidest voice ever.
oh, God.
What's his name? Like, Sheriff
Fred
Frumpkins or something like that?
Something dumb, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just like, well, hi there, feller, how you doing?
That's pretty good.
As cartoony as every character is in this movie, that character is like 10 times more cartoony.
Really? I never had no promotion before.
It's so weird. So
he cranks it up again another 10 times when he meets Tom Sizemore.
Yeah, he does. So this character is already the sheriff, and Sugar Wolf comes in and is like, nah, I'm the sheriff. And he's got his own badge, and he makes him deputy. And his first task as deputy is to go get him some chili.
And that's so dumb that he doesn't care. He's just like totally down for
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he has to ask, where do you want this chili from? And of course, he says, New York City.
New York City.
That's what I was waiting
for. The sheriff is so dumb that he doesn't realize that era New York City. No, he goes to 2010 New York City.
Yeah, he does. It keeps cutting back to him as the main story progresses, and it cuts to him, and you see him at the Mexican border, and he's like, ah, shucks, I went the wrong way. And then he ends up in
near
Canada.
Near Tom Sizemore.
Yeah. And then, meets Tom Sizemore in the desert for God knows what reason. And then ends up in 2010 New York City.
I had to stop myself for a second. I was watching with my girlfriend. I looked over and I'm like, wait, at the beginning they said that this was 1837, right?
Yeah.
Like, what?
It probably has something to do with the TARDIS at 69 Prickly Pecker Lane.
That's probably true. But I don't know. It was so dumb, but I kind of really liked that whole bit. It was pretty good.
Well, I thought it was so great because... when Sugar Wolf takes over as sheriff and sends him to New York to get chili, I was just like, okay, that's just a way to write out this character and you'll never see him again.
Especially because if you're going for chili, you go to New York for the best chili.
Yeah,
New York City.
Well known for its chili.
I kind of figured, maybe we'll see him once again, at the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
No, he's got a whole thing going on.
Yeah, it's a pretty good bit. Back to these assassins. The third assassin, as we said, is Tink, this little person who Sugar Wolf has a relationship with. And at some point, after he's already killed the other two assassins, she reveals that she's actually Tank. And she pulls a mask off and she's like a bearded guy. And he shoots Sugar Wolf in his shooting hand. And so Sugar Wolf has a hole the size of like his hand, basically. Like it's a huge hole.
It's a cartoonishly large hole.
Yeah.
And but so also, he... back up for a second, Mike, if you can, because I have to point out Sugar Wolf's reaction when he realizes that he's been like doing all sorts of nasty stuff to this guy.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, and yeah, when he's like dry heaving and he's like, but you and I had sex. And the guy and Tank is like, that's the only part I enjoy.
Yeah, that's right.
Motherfucking money.
Okay, so he finds this out. The third assassin, Tank, shoots him in the hand, his shooting hand. So now he can't shoot, but he still beats the shit out of this guy.
Like, oh god!
Like he shoots him, and the shot like knocks him out of the window.
And
the
and guy, it was all, you know, and this was all shot in one scene, no cuts.
Yeah, so
no
it busts out all. The window, and then for 2 minutes, it is Sugar Wolf beating the ever loving shit out of an obvious dummy.
Literally, like literally 2 minutes.
Like,
and like, literally an obvious dummy.
Yeah, it was. It's one of those things I thought that the longer it kept not cutting, the funnier it got.
I kind of went through like peaks and valleys of it. Like at first I'm like, that's really funny because it was a dummy.
Yeah.
And then about 45 seconds in, I'm like, okay, cut. And then by 2 minutes I was rolling. I mean, like they just kept with it.
And the whole time, Sugar Wolf is just mumbling to himself about what he's doing.
Yeah, right. And yeah, Tank is like, stop it, no. It's just so ridiculous.
God. So, okay. So at this point, while this is all happening, the bodyguard, I think, of Big Baby Chips, the tall guy in black, like he doesn't really do anything except for it. And he like goes and gets the assassins. And then in this particular scene, he comes and he breaks out some of the bad guys, some of the lackeys of Big Baby Chips out of the prison, which is also where Jason Mewes dies. With a billion shots, Dirty Sanchez decides he's going to help teach Sugar Wolf how to shoot with his left hand so he can have a shooting contest with Big Baby Chips.
It's like a little montage scene.
Yeah, this whole scene, it's pretty good. Like, there's like, it's just really weird, silly stuff, you know, like doing pull-ups but not actually doing pull-ups. And churning, he's churning butter, but it looks like he's masturbating and they keep making like gross jokes. So you realize they're just churning
butter. It's supposed
to be
like a training scene for him to get better, but he's really not doing anything to improve himself.
No.
But I thought it's an effective use of the montage, which also earlier I liked the love montage too between.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll say ICP really knows how to use a montage.
They do. And it all culminates in, if you're playing the drinking game, it all culminates in your death.
That's right, because there's another scene where there's like 500 slaps in a row.
God, yeah. Before this, yeah, Sugar Wolf's like, I don't know, not interrogating. He's just talking to the guys he's arrested and just slaps the shit out of all of them. And when he's slapping, we haven't pointed out the fact that it doesn't matter where you are. If he's gonna slap you, he's gonna slap you, because
you could be across the room.
He's up on a ladder.
Yeah,
slap.
I'm in a prison cell. You can't get at me. Nope, he can still fucking slap you. It's just anywhere. It's really...
You just gotta chug through that shit, because it's nonstop.
Yeah. Oh, it's constant. Okay, so those guys get breaking out of jail. He does a montage, and Sugar Wolf is ready to fight Big Baby Chips. So they have a shootout contest, and it's, you know, it's not very... eventful.
Well, that's where the guy with the chili comes back.
Yeah, oh,
he kind of sets it all off.
Yeah, because they walk out their seven paces or whatever, and then he's like, "I got your chili,"
and it's like a really small tin of chili too.
Yeah,
it's just a can.
Went all that way for like a small, like it was almost a ramekin of chili.
And then doesn't he just drop it? Like, doesn't he trip or something?
Oh, I forget. I don't remember.
I thought he, like, when he's like, I got your chili, and I thought he trips, and that's what makes them start shooting.
And someone dies.
Mm-hmm.
It is dramatic.
Oh,
very dramatic.
I mean, I was confused because there were no bullet holes, but...
Yeah, and in fact, he had Big Baby Chips reached into his coat to show that he had been shot with, and there was blood on him.
Yeah.
Like, you would just see the hole in the coat, but whatever.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's because he had a large gold suit on. He didn't want to. They didn't want to cut a hole in it, I guess. But,
I was
yeah.
just confused, though, because, like, I was actually, like, on the edge of my seat for it. I'm like, what's mm-hmm. happening right now? Like, I'm actually into this.
Yeah, so he, you know, Baby Chips gets shot. He dies, or he's dying on the ground. And the man in black falls into the well full of acid. Yeah. For no reason, just to show that he really didn't do anything in the movie. And
pretty gnarly death, though.
It would hurt.
Dirty Sanchez is the guy who shot him, and he fell into the well.
Yeah, good old Dirty Sanchez.
With a fake mustache.
What words does Big Baby Chips utter as he is passing over to the other side?
I'm your father.
Yeah.
I mean, straight out of Star Wars.
He does his, like, worst Star or Darth Vader impression.
Yeah.
I am your father.
I was confused for a second because you see his father a couple times in some flashback scenes, and he's portrayed by porn star Ron Jeremy. And so when Big Baby Chip said that, I thought it was like a, oh, what? Like, so Ron Jeremy wasn't his father. It was like his mom was sleeping with Big Baby Chips or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They handled it in the best way possible.
Best way.
You think so?
I do. Because what happens is he tells him to remove the face paint.
Yeah,
and so Sugar Wolf wipes the face paint off of Big Baby Chips, and when he removes the like handkerchief, it's Ron Jeremy laying there.
Makes
so
no
awesome
sense at all.
No,
but like, it's awesome.
They're obviously a different height. Like, Ron Jeremy has a much longer beard all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's
face paint.
So great. I loved it.
Yeah. So great.
Yeah, you find out that he's really the only son. And, like, it's not a good answer. What is his excuse? He's like, I killed your brothers because, like, they were not my actual kids because your mom's a whore. But, like, why did he send all these assassins after him? Like, I can't remember what his excuse was.
Yeah, why? Like, if that's his son, like, why is he trying to kill him?
Yeah, just...
I think it was to make him, like, a strong leader or something, or, like, a hero. He wanted to make him a hero.
So we get that reveal, the movie's over.
I didn't see that coming at all. I did not no. see that twist coming.
Me either. But the movie ends with what I think my favorite line in the whole movie... not because it's the last line of the movie, but because it's the perfect ending for a movie like this, where Shaggy Two-Dope just says, well, I guess that sums this shit up. My father was nothing but a big money rustler. And then it just cuts to the credit scene.
Like, yeah, he's just like, let me say the titular line, and then we are out.
Yep. I liked also the first sentence, though. Well, I guess that about sums that shit up. Like about the movie. Like, yeah, that sums this movie up. All right.
Here's I gotta the titular ask, line. Though, did you guys watch the post-credit scene?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean the during the credit scene or the post-credit? Like
post. The last thing after all the credits are done.
Oh, shit, I don't know if I did. What was it?
Well,
I'm trying to remember it.
During the credits, which is also, we should
get all the outtakes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because the outtakes are really entertaining. And then, when was it when they were, like, all back in the bar, like, everyone was alive again?
Oh, that was, like, the start of the credits. That was really confusing at first.
Yeah.
Yeah,
everyone's out. Everyone's alive again. No one is someone else. Everyone's their own person. And
Jason
they're all
Mewes
just hanging
out
in the bar shooting. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets shot again.
Gets shot again.
Not,
yeah.
Was it
He's
in the script?
Taking a bow, basically, for the credits.
Yeah, it's just a silly little scene.
Yeah.
And then, they do some outtakes, you know, some bloopers. And then apparently there's words. And then after the words, there's a post-credit scene, Paul. A stinger.
Yeah. It's Scott Hall comes back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. This was great. Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
He's still in front of the sign, and it's the population of Mudbug is down to one, and he's like, well, last man standing. And then someone shoots him, and as he's dying, he changes the population to zero.
Yeah.
That is why he's the MVP of this movie in my book.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree.
I mean, does anyone have anything else to add about that we maybe missed? Anything we skipped?
Just keep away from my butt.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to talk about the song.
Well, Paul, your favorite part of the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really not sure why, but maybe three-fourths of the way through the movie, there's sort of a musical interlude with some, you know, ladies in the town, maybe some prostitute types who are inside the bar singing a song. And the chorus is essentially, I don't know if I can do it. I wouldn't want his pecker near my butt.
No way.
Get away from my butt.
Get away from my butt.
But it was a little uncomfortable at work today when I accidentally just shouted out, get away from my butt.
Rating time.
How many hatchets would you give Big Money Rustlers?
You know, I'm not a big fan of ICP. My main exposure to them is through their short run of the WWE, like a decade, 20 years ago, whatever it was, and that they played about a block and a half from my house about a month and a half ago, and I should have gone to see them. I should have gone to see it, but I came in not expecting very much, like just something pandering to the Juggalos, and I was very pleasantly surprised to see that there was no pandering involved at all. I mean, there were a lot of references to like Juggalo culture, but I think the movie's pretty enjoyable to anyone. I'm going to give it, you know, I'm going to give it 80 hatchet men or 80 hatchets, whatever the scale is. 80.
All right. Wow.
Really enjoyed this. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, Nonviolent Jay, how about you?
You know, yeah, I'm going to echo some of the things Chris said. I really didn't expect a lot. I think most people who are not Juggalos probably wouldn't expect a lot. But I this was really funny. Like, it was honestly funny. And would I watch it again or tell people to watch it? I would. Like, I would have no problem if we were at a party or something and people wanted to watch something crazy. I would definitely suggest this. And it would be a great time. So I'm pretty high on this movie, actually. So I'm going to go 85 hatchets.
Ooh, wow. How about you, Semen to Demon?
Yeah, did you guys know that that was my name before, like, coming into this, or?
What? What do you mean?
Because you were all laughing. I was the only one not laughing.
Semen to Demon, we did not plan that at all.
Okay.
No. Sorry, Semen to Demon.
Semen to Demon.
Whoop, whoop. I think we're all on the same page here, really. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It struck the right tone. You know, they really they knew what they were doing in terms of the type of comedy that they wanted to make, and they obviously put a lot of care into it. I mean, it's not something that is just slapped together. They really fairly carefully crafted this thing. Yeah, it was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on. It held your attention the entire time, and it was a lot of fun. I didn't know that Jay was going to give it 85, but I'm also going to go 85 ratchets, hatchet ratchets, whatever you want to say it. Dark ass nugs.
Whoop whoop. I mean, this isn't like a good movie, but it was an enjoyably bad movie, like in that sense. Right. In fact, I think it was very competently done. Like, as you guys said, it wasn't, you know, it's just, it's obviously a B movie. You know, the production, right. Whatever. But it looked, for what it was, it looked really good, actually, and was fun and enjoyable. And I, before anyone said anything, I was like, I'm giving this 80 hatchets, and so I'm sticking with 80 hatchets.
Wow.
Whoop, whoop.
Wow.
The only thing we really need to find out now is what Mr. Schoolyard Killa is making us watch this week.
Whoop, whoop.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Before Khaleesi's fire, before Jon Snow's ice, before George R.R. Martin's Song of Ice and Fire, there was Ralph Bakshi's Fire and Ice.
Oh.
Nice.
I think I know what that is. It's like a fantasy deal?
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen it, so...
I've heard of it.
Where can we find this?
It's on Amazon Prime Streaming.
Cool.
Cool.
Sweet. Well, Dark Ass Nugs signing off.
Whoop whoop. Whoop whoop. Whoop whoop.
You guys want to go listen to some ICP and just like really get into it?
You know.
Yeah, I'm gonna start planning my trip to the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Let's do it. I'm cracking some Faygo right now. Hey, any fans out there, if you want to draw up any fan art of what we look like as Juggalos with our face paint, please do.
Get away from my butt.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at BMovieMania. You can also drop them a line at BMovieMania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!